General Richard Myers, U.S. Air Force retired, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 2001 to 2005. The confirmation of your successor, General Dunford, is complete, and he will take over as the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, succeeding General Dempsey. What were the two, three, or more most important aspects, in your view, of being chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Myers? Thanks for your time, sir.
Well, thank you, Francis. Well, I think, first of all, during my tenure, just coming to grips with what at the time was seen as a really new threat, and that's the non-nation state actor, in this case, Al-Qaeda, coming into office right after 9/11. So having to deal with that, trying to transform the Department of Defense from a 20th century force to a 21st century force, of course, that's what President Bush campaigned on. Then he came to office and he said, okay, make it happen. We've got to be a more agile, flexible force in the future. And that was all before 9/11. Then 9/11 just added a great sense of urgency to making sure we're able to cope with non-nation state actors, adversaries that don't have armies and navies and air forces. So I'd say that's probably, for me, the biggest thing.
We talk about General Dunford's ascension on the same day that his force announces that they have a squadron of F-35Bs that are ready for deployment around the world. And it strikes me that and that was something that it started initially. Development of that program started with while you were chairman, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that happen. I guess it's kind of a case of time marches on, and the things that happen under one continue under the next and the next and the next.
Well, I think that's one of the first things you realize, that what you help put in place, no matter who you are in an organization like the Department of Defense, what you help put in place may or may not come to fruition during your tenure, often not. And so something like the F-35, the JSF, was started, I think, even before my tenure, and here we are starting to field it now. But it takes a couple of decades to get these some systems into service, especially the more expensive systems. Other things you can do fairly quickly. So we had some rapid requirements that required rapid fulfillment of their capability during Afghanistan and Iraq, and we did some of that as well. But whether it's policy, whether it's contingency planning, whether it's new equipment, a lot of that you don't see on your tenure. It has to be your successors are gonna be using that.
How is being chairman different, or harder, or more challenging, or more rewarding than any of the other jobs that one has in the military?
Well, I think you have to realize that the chairman is really, you don't command anything. You know, when you're a commander of a unit, no matter how large, you know, you can make things happen fairly quickly. When you're the chairman, you have no command responsibility. You're an advisor. You're the principal military advisor to the president, but it goes on to say that you have to represent the views of the service chiefs if they differ from your own. So you really, your goal is to represent the views of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but you're an advisor. You're not in the chain of command, and that's really different, I think, for most of us that grow up in the military. We're used to knowing where the chain of command is, occasionally being in that chain of command. Now at the most senior post, you're off to the side as an advisor, not without influence, of course, but you're an advisor.
What leadership skills are most important? What did you draw on the most during your tenure as chief?
I think trying to build a team among the Joint Chiefs, and certainly among those on the Joint Staff, to build a team where we could look at the issues, discuss the issues, state how we feel about them, and then, you know, arm me or somebody in the Joint Chiefs to go forward to take our point of view to the Secretary of Defense or to the National Security Council or to the President. And so I think it's those team-building skills, trying to make sure everybody's well-informed, that everybody has an input, and that at some point, you know, you have to move forward, so you try to bring people along with you. I think those kind of skills are really important. Another one, it would be encouraging your staff, the Joint Staff, or the service staffs, for that matter, to think, you know, broadly about the problems that we face, and not in a parochial way, but not in a service-centric way, but in a broader way, where you think about, okay, here's the problem. Problem is Al-Qaeda, it's violent extremism, it's terrorism. How do we deal with it? And try to come up with plans and solutions that could help counter that threat.
President Bush was president for your entire term as Chairman General Myers, but you served as vice chair under General Shelton during the Clinton to Bush transition era. And so you experienced to a degree what General Dunford will experience, the presidential transition in 2017. Does that impact the way that someone at that level goes about doing his job, sir?
I don't think it impacts the way you go about doing your job. It may, you, depending on who comes into the office next, there may be a perception that you're a, you know, you're an Obama guy or whatever. But, you know, for the military, we salute the office, not the person. And our loyalties on January 20th, when the new president says "I do," or "So help me God," you're gonna immediately look to him or her for direction. And I think a lot of people don't understand that we're not political. We're apolitical, nonpartisan, and we're gonna salute the president and respond to the president's direction. That's what we're charged to do in this country. And I don't think there will be anything difficult for, in this case, General Dunford, that he's going to, other than here's a new team in town with new ideas, new thoughts, and you have to accommodate all that. So we'll have to do that.
What do you think's different about being chairman now compared to 2005 when you left that post? You talked about the Islamic threat that is much different today than it was even 10 years ago.
I think the biggest difference is the budget situation we're in, with sequestration lurking around the corner, with the Department of Defense having been cut in both personnel and material and in dollars. I think he faces, and yet we still have these threats around the world, ISIL being one of them, but there's areas around the world that are probably where military capability, if not force, at least presence, is going to be required. South China Sea comes to mind, the continuing situation on the Korean Peninsula, Russia's actions in their neck of the woods. I think all of this requires a very strong military, and I think General Dunford is going to have to come to grips with how does he balance that with less capability and less budget to do the job.
You had the advantage of being up close inside the Joint Chiefs before you became chairman. General Dunford's been the commandant of the Marine Corps for the last year, so he has also seen how that job works up close and personal. Were there things that you wish you'd known when you left the office in 2005 that you didn't know when you got there, when you took the job and swore the oath in 2001, or did you have a pretty good idea going in what you were in for?
Well, having served as the assistant of the chairman and working with the White House extensively in that particular position, then being vice chairman, and then when it became when 9/11 happened and I was getting ready to go for my confirmation hearing, to be included in all the discussions with my predecessor, General Shelton. I was always there in the discussions with the president or whomever. I don't think you could design a better program to make sure an individual was prepared for what he was going to see and do. But having said that, every administration is different. So, you know, you have to get used to the personalities involved and the sort of dynamics that are set up because of those personalities between major cabinet officials and so forth. So there, a new national security advisor, all of that you just have to get accustomed to that. So there is that, but I'm not sure there's much you can do to get ready for that. You just have to respond.
General Myers, I appreciate your insight very much. Thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, Francis, thank you.